WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Air Force Two just touching down moments ago in Phoenix, Arizona, carrying Charlie Kirk's casket. Phoenix is where the Turning Point USA founder lived. This as a massive search is underway for the person believed to have fired the single shot that killed Kirk yesterday during an outdoor debate at Utah Valley University in Orem. CBS's Anna Schechter also reports.
Federal law enforcement believes they have the identification potentially of that suspect, but I will caution everybody, they still say they do not have a suspect in custody.
The FBI has posted pictures of the person of interest and is offering a $100,000 reward. In suburban Denver, Colorado, authorities say they've identified the suspect in yesterday's shooting at Evergreen High School. He took his own life before injuring two students. Jefferson County Sheriff spokesperson Jackie Kelly says he was a 16-year-old student who had been radicalized through an extremist network.
We know that the suspect had a handgun. He had to keep reloading. He would fire and reload, fire and reload, fire and reload. This went on. And as he did that, he tried to find new targets.
Both student victims are still in the hospital. Opening statements began today in the trial of the man accused of trying to assassinate President Trump on a South Florida golf course last year. Ryan Ruth is representing himself in court. CBS's Katrina Kaufman was there.
At one point, he almost began crying while talking about a tractor. He was very poetically talking about a lot of different objects. But it was when he said, "So no, this case means absolutely nothing," that the prosecution objected, and she finally just ended his opening statement. Partway through, she had stopped him, tried to put him back on track, and told him he couldn't make a mockery of this courthouse.
Ruth has pleaded not guilty to five federal charges, including attempted assassination of a major presidential candidate. Marking 24 years since the 9/11 attacks, President Trump and the First Lady took part in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Pentagon. In New York City,
hundreds gathered at the World Trade Center site in New York City to remember the nearly 3,000 people who died there 24 years ago. The names of the victims read aloud.
Richard Anthony Acetto.
Bernard Ackerman.
Paul Acquaviva.
Two moments of silence marking the precise times two planes were flown into the Twin Towers. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
The victims of Flight 93 have been remembered at the site where their plane crashed near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new Bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware, though, bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, patchy fog by dawn, and lows within a few degrees of 60. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs warmer, upper 70s. Slight storm chance Friday night into early Saturday, staying warm through the weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Political editor Dan Schaefer will be in to recombobulate and we'll review the Packers Thursday night football game. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hidney Cup, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Kind of got a little different show here on Thursday. I asked Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin to come on again and talk about what's happening politically here, and especially with what happened yesterday. And also, we got Bob Blake from Red Lake coming on a little later doing the same and then giving us an update on Solar Bear with the solar news. But before I get to Arvina, I just want to remind everyone on Saturday, September 13th, our walk team, Team AM 950, will join hundreds of other teams supporting Recovery Connections Walk for Recovery on the grounds of the Minnesota State Capitol. So I'll see you all there. It's the 15th annual Walk for Recovery. And other Recovery Month events are a way to celebrate recovery, show your support, generate hope, reduce the stigma, and the offerings proof of that recovery is real. And so I just want to throw that out there. I'll be out there, and we'll be out there this coming Saturday. I asked Arvina to come on. Robert Lilligren had another very important appointment to do, and we're really blessed to have Arvina come on, Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and kind of talk about, talk me off the cliff here a little bit, especially 24 hours after this tragic event that we do not support at all, but it's just, there's a lot to unravel here, and so I'm very grateful that Arvina could make it. Welcome, Arvina.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. This has kind of made me kind of have to really think about my feelings about everything and what happens next. There's lots of possibilities, and a lot of those possibilities are scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for me, I really didn't know much about Charlie Kirk until today. I know I heard a few quotes over the years, and I didn't realize how important he was to the Republican Party and this last election with young ones. So that was really interesting to see. But also what came about with that, too, was his rhetoric that really is pretty upsetting and again, no one deserves to be murdered, but it's also, we had some representatives here in Minnesota shot, and the president didn't reach out to our governor. There was no half staff at the flags like's happening in Washington now and around. for this person. So I just, again, feel, I don't know. I talk me off this cliff here, because it's really, one, an interesting time that's happening. And I don't know if it's like the 60s. I was very young during then with all these assassinations and these things going on. Help me, Arvina.
I mean, I guess, first off, I am someone who has a lot of empathy, probably a little too much empathy for all. I mean, let's be real. I feel empathy towards inanimate objects at times. So the events of yesterday, you know, as an empathetic human being, I am really sad about the fact that one of our fellow human beings was, you know, had his life cut short in such a violent way, and that he, you know, was a young husband and father with two children that now will just grow up with memories of, and I mean, maybe not even memories, I think they're that little, but, you know, stories of their dad instead of being able to have experiences with him. And that's sad. I mean, on a human level, especially, that is really sad. And I certainly have a lot of empathy for his loved ones that are navigating such a quick and tragic loss that they didn't anticipate. But I also can recognize that a lot of the things that Charlie Kirk has said and said with his full chest, this is not someone who was shy about sharing his opinion, mm-hmm. And his thoughts on things. And a lot of the things that he said showed that he would not have the same empathy for any of us. You know, he did not show empathy for Representative Hortman, you know, and or anybody else that is not aligned with his political views. You know, he and actually said that empathy, what, doesn't have a place. I'm trying to recall his quote about, you know, empathy is a made up word.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's okay to have that empathy for the human loss. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that kind of empathy is something that makes us human.
Right.
And that's okay. But I also know the kind of harm that he has caused so many people, and so many people that are dealing already with all of these systems of oppression that already face them, you know, and so just adding on to those, I don't want to just call them troubles, but like adding to the burden that a lot of people, you know, trans people, Black folks in particular, you know, he frequently said terrible things about people that are different from him. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just reading a post about a professor that he deemed too woke, and he put her on a list.
Yeah.
And that list was on the Turning Points website, and she had to have additional security. She was getting, you know, crazy emails, phone calls, etc., because he said that she was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that put her into the like added violence to her life, put her in danger of violence happening to her and all the other mm-hmm. names on that list of professors doing their jobs. Yeah. So I understand a lot of people having very complex thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and feeling feeling sad or feeling empathy with the human aspect, but not wanting to canonize this guy, because a lot of the work that he has done has hurt so many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean hurt in some kind of like, oh, I got my feelings hurt kind of way. Mm-hmm. You know, things that added to the struggle of so many people. And I'm also really saddened by the disparate response of people on the other side of the aisle, on the right, who had no such empathy for Melissa Hartman and her family. Was it Representative Hoffman?
Yes.
And his family. You know, there was not this kind of outcry or kind of you know, this sense of empathy from the other side.
Yeah, and that's, I agree. Arvina, let's take a quick break. I'm here with Arvina Martin of Merge Wisconsin and a fellow Ho-Chunk. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
On view at Minneapolis Institute of Art, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work, only at MIA until September 21st, and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Arvina Martin, our friend here from Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about these times and how crazy it is. We just had a school shooting, which seems like a long time ago here, but it really isn't. And then on the same day of the Charlie Kirk, assassination, there was a school shooting in Colorado. So we can't get away from this gun violence that's erupting here in this country. And I don't even know if that's the right word, erupting. It's been here and it's just coming forward. Again, Arvina, thanks so much for coming on and helping me talk through this and process this this craziness that's happening here in our country.
Yeah, you know, I am really sad too about the school shooting that happened in Colorado yesterday. I believe there is still one kid in critical condition. And that is tragic. And you're absolutely right. We are like weeks away from the last last school shooting. I mean, I'm sure that there were incidents in between, but ones that are, you know, that make the news. But then this one probably would have made the news, but it didn't because it happened almost at the same time as the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And so, you know, we know which one's going to get headlines, which is, it feels very crass to say something like that in a situation where it's all the competing for attention, where it's over events where humans died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not on the front page, I'll tell you that. I've been looking around, scouring the internet about what we're going to talk about today, and it was hard to find even Associated Press. I'd have to go a deep couple pages in there even just to find it. You know, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen at least three or four on my social media feeds and also on YouTube watching Charlie Kirk be murdered. I mean, in real time, it's like shades of JFK and RFK. But I don't think we saw that much after that, those assassinations happened. And I'm seeing this, and I don't know if it's because of the phones or what, but I'm really kind of going, I can't believe how much, you know, YouTube and these places haven't blocked this.
That was very distressing. I just opened up my Instagram feed and they have autoplay. So, you know, it just started going and I, at the time, didn't know what was happening. So I was like, you know, kind of thinking in my head, well, what's Charlie Kirk saying now? And then I saw him get shot and collapse. And like that set off I physically reacted. It shocked me. And I am like, it scares me again that this came up, you know, because, and it was the first thing in my feed. It just automatically started, you know, it wasn't hidden. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't a warning. People will mock trigger warnings or content warnings, but for something like this, absolutely there should be something, because there's something very, it feels wrong to be watching and rewatching the moment that someone's life ends.
Yeah. It's, you know, crazy.
I heard somebody say something during some of this coverage that, you know, the Zapruder film was locked up for decades.
Yes.
And no one saw it. Mm-hmm. And now it's just, it's going to happen. And now I think one of the smaller side effects is that we're going to have to be more careful about how we use social media, how we mindlessly go through our Instagram feeds, just, you know, cause we have a minute between calls.
That's amazing that you felt the same way, because I was like going, I don't even really have to go look for this, and it's coming right at me. Arvina, let me just switch gears just for a second, because I wanted to bring this up in the top of the show, and it's on my notes, and I have totally forgot because of what, you know, well, I've just totally forgot. I had relatives of relatives that died at 9/11, and I just want to give this day a solemn shout out to and your thoughts. I forgot to bring that up on the top of the show, and I really wanted to bring it up with you too, because it's just another thing, and it's exhausting, and it's life or death, and it's exhausting.
Absolutely, and we also have to know that this is the context of what we experienced yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's a heavy feeling in the air, you know, and for me, as like, I don't know anybody or have connections with folks that lost their lives that day. But again, as a human being with empathy, that day was awful. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't use a strong enough word. And I know, you know, as someone who lived through that day, think about it every anniversary. Like I do think about it every mm-hmm. anniversary and how things have changed. And yeah. And to have this act of violence happen in the midst of this kind of time of contemplation that I think mm-hmm. September 11th brings to a lot of people is mm-hmm. it just adds to the heaviness of all of it. And I think the fear that people have of what is going to happen in the future, because yeah. we remember not knowing. You know, once people realize we're being attacked, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people thought, what is going to happen next? And that unknown, that fear was so strong. And I think a lot of people are feeling that now, too.
Yeah, it is a parallel. You're absolutely right. I know I was teaching at the time, and I saw it happen, or somebody mentioned to me in the hall as I was heading back to my class. And we turned the TV on to see the second plane go in. And then we knew something was up. And one of the things to Arvina was how eerie it is. I live in St. Paul, and you can hear the airport from the distance. We don't have planes going over our neighborhood, but you could hear it from a distance, and how quiet it was for the next week because there was no planes except F-16s flying around. It was that I'll never forget that, too.
Right. I mean, it's eerie and makes you think about the little things in the background that you always take for granted until they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And something small like that can just add to the gravity of a situation.
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on. And there are parallels with 9/11 and the eeriness that we feel. I really, really appreciate you coming on. And I just wanted to reach out to you because I feel like we have a great conversation about what's going on nationally, politically too here. And just to talk me through this today. And we didn't really get deep into it, but I feel a little bit better about being able to talk it out and also, you know, touch base with you about how you felt, because I really felt weird about seeing that shooting all the time. And I'm glad you feel the same, and it's not just me.
Absolutely. And you know, I want to remind you and everybody listening that these times are extraordinary. And you know, like my daughter said to me during the pandemic, Mama, I'm sick of living in historic times. Mm. The unknown, the uncertainty is an unpredictability of everything. It is very overwhelming. And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to feel your feelings and know that maybe your feelings are conflicting with each other, but that's okay. And to really kind of let yourself feel those things in a healthy way so that you can learn from it and kind of maybe reassure yourself or just processing it and take care of yourself. Make sure you're drinking water, because we all forget. My mouth is really dry right now, and I'm like, I forgot to drink water today. So, you know, stay hydrated, make sure that you have time to rest. Try to make it so the thoughts aren't so intrusive.
Wow. Great words. And again, big Peenigi, thank you for
Real News. Great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Charlie Kirk's body has been returned to Phoenix, Arizona on Air Force Two as the person who fatally shot him at Utah Valley University yesterday remains at large. And the FBI just released clearer pictures of the person of interest. FBI Special Agent Robert Bowles says among possible evidence they've collected, a high-powered hunting rifle.
Investigators have also collected footwear impression, a palm print, and forearm imprints for analysis.
On the South Lawn of the White House, President Trump says the shooter killed a great man.
He was an advocate of nonviolence. That's the way I'd like to see people respond.
CBS's Carter Evans in Orem, Utah.
The Utah Valley campus will be closed until Monday. And in a nearby classroom where panicked students fled, you can still see chairs and desks used as barricades.
What was your initial reaction when you saw him go down?
Disbelief.
Jordan Hatch is one of several students we met, still in shock.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. We haven't had too many of these in our... I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on their own, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As I mentioned yesterday, Downton Abbey, the grand finale, opens this weekend and is getting good reviews. And Stephen King's first novel, The Long Walk, has been turned into a film that opens this weekend as well and is pulling a ridiculously high 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not too shabby for a horror film. Another big film opening in wide release is Demon Slayer Infinity Castle, an action fantasy anime film about a boy who joins an organization to track down demons who avenge his sister's transformation into a demon. The film is the final of a trilogy and reviewing incredibly well. If none of these flicks tickles your fancy, check out a couple of cool re-releases. The original Toy Story is back for a theatrical run in semi-wide release and is considered close to a perfect movie. The much older The Sound of Music returns for a limited re-release as well. So many great films, so little time, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, patchy fog by dawn, and lows within a few degrees of 60. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs warmer, upper 70s. Slight storm chance Friday night into early Saturday, staying warm through the weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday brings our Week in Review panel to, you know, review the week, as well as a review of the Packers' performance on a short week against Washington.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio, and we have our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're talking some national stuff here right now, Bob, and the gray cloud over this country with all this gun violence. And thank you so much for coming on today, and we'll be talking about a few things, but I just wanted to lead off with that, in that it's 9/11 and the anniversary of that, and so it's a pretty heavy day, and I appreciate you coming on for a couple segments, Robert.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robert. Wow, that is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, 9/11, the tragedy of that event, and how, you know, our country has, you know, they built the One World Trade Center there. You know, I was down there, Robert, to see some of the stuff, and it's amazing. It's really overwhelming when you walk through that space to see mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah, we took the tour, which I didn't want to do, and it's been so many years, but I think Wendy and I took that tour last year, or maybe the year before, but we held off for a long time just to see that, because, you know, we're old enough to remember that day. And I was talking to Arvina in the last segment, kind of touching about, I couldn't believe how, after that happened, weeks after that, how quiet the airport was, because they didn't have anybody flying, and they didn't know what was going on, if it was a big attack or more attacks coming. And here we are again now with gun violence here that is making this day a real sad day. And we can't forget about the young ones that were shot yesterday in school, and then of course the tragedy that happened here a few weeks ago in our school shooting here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, now more than ever, you know, we need our leaders, you know, we need our you know, our folks, our communities to come together to, you know, get everyone through this. This is a lot, especially for our young people, like you said, Robert. For them to handle right now, to take in. And I just want, like, all of the adults out there to remember, those young people are watching us. You know, they're like, seeing how we handle this, seeing what we do, seeing what we talk about. I always love that that quote from Martin Luther King that says, hate can't drive out hate, only love can, you know. Yeah. And I always remember that when, you know, when these tragic events do take place, that, you know, at the root cause of all this is hate, and hate doesn't have a place, you know, here, and we should really love our neighbor and learn to, come to some type of, you know, common ground, meeting of the mind, so to speak, Robert, with our disagreements. It's okay to disagree, but we can agree to disagree. You know what I mean? We'll still respect one another.
And my deal too, specifically with Charlie Kirk, was that he was no friends of ours. He was attacking us, but no one deserves to be murdered. And so that's the one thing that I want to say too, is because of the quotes that, you know, I didn't know as much about him. And it's funny, I don't know, did you watch South Park at all this last year where they're really going after Trump?
No, I haven't been. I love South Park, by the way. If I was been a South Park fan watcher.
The second show of the season had, I think its name, I can't remember their names, Kyle, the heavyset one. His hair was like Charlie Kirk's, and he was doing the same kind of thing. Matter of fact, he was under a kind of a overview like where Charlie Kirk was yesterday, and it was kind of bizarre too. But again, I don't follow Republican stuff, and I didn't realize that this person had a lot to do with the presidency flipping over to Bush. I mean, to Trump. So he was a big hero to the Democrats or Republicans, and there was just a lot of hate coming from from him. But again, no one deserves to be shot or assassinated. I just want to say that. And it's the times we're living in here. And we just had a couple people murdered here that we both know. Hortman and her husband, and there was no call to the governor. There was no reach out from Trump. There was no half-staff flags like they're doing for him. And it's really apparent that I guess liberal lives don't matter as much as Republican lives in a lot of ways. And that's something that is really new in the last 10 years for us to witness.
It is. And it you know, really shows, I mean, unfortunately, that the way this young man lived his life is the same way that he was kind of gotten out, right? How he ended it, you know? Yeah. You know, I think that has a lot to say about the energy that you put out there is the energy that you get, right? And it's really, sad that that had to be, you know, his ending. I understand he's got a family, a young family. Yeah.
They were there.
And, you know, that's, my heart and, my prayers go out to obviously those young kids because they have nothing to do with this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, but I think this is a good lesson for for everyone, like young folks too. Like, I mean, how you decide to live your life. I mean, how you decide to go out every day. And be a part of this world. I always go back to the invisible contract that we all sign, Robert. There's that invisible contract that we sign to live in society. And some people will say, oh, well, that doesn't matter to me, or I don't have nothing to do with that, but, we do, Robert. And it's that invisible contract that we all sign to live in this society with one another, to act accordingly, to abide by laws, to do right by others, to help move all of us along,
or stop at stop signs, for God's sakes. Just those things that we take for granted that we do every day. I'm with you.
Yeah, the social contract, that's what it's called, the social contract that we all signed to be here. I think we all have a responsibility, and I'm not the judge, jury, and decider of Charlie Kirk, but when you spew that kind of violence, you spew that kind of hate, I don't really necessarily feel like he was living the social contract. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's what happened. And I just think people need to really, 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 like, before you do anything, stop, ask for help. We need to put more money into mental health services. We need to get serious about gun control. Yes. And we really need to be able to look at this from a holistic point of view of putting money back into our educational system, because it's through our educational system, Robert, and you know this as a lifelong teacher, that's where the gains and the advantages and the opportunities and the ability to be able to see the opportunity, the different ways that, one could work through whatever issue it is that they have with either you're a Democrat or a Republican, they can work through that themselves to figure out a better pathway forward. And, we all know that the educational system was cut back in the early 80s, and they've been making cuts ever since. Mm-hmm. And we need to start investing into our kids and our youth and our future again.
Wow, that's a really good point, and that's like a whole nother show. But God, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, but I'm old enough to remember where people came all over the world to see what Minnesota was doing about their education, because we were a beacon of education across not only this country but the world. But just being worn down, like you said, since the 80s, there's a lot of unfunded special ed and things like that that the monies don't get to the school student. And so you're absolutely right, and it's an amazing thing to see here. We got a couple minutes, Bob, in this segment, and I'd really like to talk to you in the last segment about the Vikings, and I know we have, we're on 20 Wisconsin stations, so we're going to have to be nice to them, but we can talk good things about the Vikings in the next segment.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Green Bay Packers signed Micah Parsons, which I think was the is going to be one of the one of the turners of this division. So kudos to you, Green Bay Packers, for signing the best defensive end in the entire NFL.
Before we get into the Viking talk, I'd like you to, if you have any solar bear with the solar news, until and then we'll talk about it in the next segment.
Yeah, you know, Robert, I do want to say one thing real quick about the solar bear with the solar nose, and I want to talk about the solar canal down in Arizona that was put together with in conjunction with Gila River Indian Reservation. This is one of the biggest 1.6 megawatt of solar panels over canals. It's going to make sure that the water doesn't vaporize into the air. It's also going to cool the solar panels, producing more electricity for the Southwest, and you know that it gets hot down there. I think this is a very ingenuity project and successful project. And it really shows the way that states, federal government, and Native American tribes can come together to fight climate change and be able to preserve reliable energy for citizenry around in that area.
That's awesome. And a breath of a positive air, which you always bring to Native Roots Radio, Bob. I really, really appreciate you. We got like 30 seconds. Is there anything else before we get into Indian Viking talk next segment? Or I should say football talk for you Wisconsin people.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there is going to be some re-looking at the Department of Energy Loan Indian Program, and hopefully there will be some good things that will come out of that that will serve Indian country. So really excited for those things happening on a federal level, but we'll see how that happens and how that rolls out.
Yeah, and it's so great that you're all over the country. There's sometimes you can't come on the show because you're speaking somewhere, and so people listening to Bob Blake with the Solar Bear of the Solar News knows that your street cred is very big for us here on Native Roots Radio, and I really appreciate you coming in. And now we're going to be talking a little different in the next segment, but again, thank you so much for coming on. It's a big deal to me, and I appreciate you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
On view at Minneapolis Institute of Art, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work, only at MIA until September 21st, and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and I'm here with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we talked a little bit about what's happening here and politically, and now we still have a little update here on what's happening, Bob, and then we'll get into a little Vikings and Packers talk.
Yeah, Robert, I want to be able to just highlight this conference here. Mm-hmm. It is the Tribal Advisory Council on Energy. It's the TACE conference, and it's going to be at Grand Casino Mille Lacs in Onamia, Minnesota, September 18th and 19th. All tribal nations in the state of Minnesota will be there. And this is the first ever Tribal Energy Forum by the TACE board. So TACE is the first basically tribal energy advisory board that's in the state in the United States. There's 50 states, and we're the first. This is the first one. Minnesota was a part of this legislation and got this passed on a state level, and it is state funded. And the idea around this is to be able to help tribes navigate the energy landscape. And with a lot of transmission that is being planned around the state of Minnesota, these lines are going to be running through tribal territories. And tribes really need to have a seat at the table when those decisions are being made, Robert. And so we want to be able to have that information for these tribal nations. And also when they need technical assistance as in tribal development, energy development, workforce development, and economic development that will all come with this. I don't think we're right there yet where everybody understands how important energy is going to be to our lives in the near future. You just seen a report from the Xcel Energy saying that they are going to substantially raise their electricity rates to their customers. And so I think in the near future, people are going to understand how important electricity is going to be, because we're going to be electrifying everything to vehicles, our homes, you name it, everything is going to be electrified. And so right now, so I think they're saying like we're going to need about five times more electricity, something like that. That we're currently using in the state of Minnesota. I mean, so we're talking about a big push for renewables, outlay of other energy resources. It's going to get very real, real quick, Robert. And climate change is not going to help our situation. So we got to continue to move forward with everything that we have.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And that's, geez, another great report from the Solar Bear from the Solar News. Appreciate that. And we'll have to bring that up and then get an update, too. Well, Bob, we got like 6 minutes here, 7 minutes here. Let's get down to what's really important to us, and that's NFL football. Oh, well, no, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Robert. It looks like Christian Darrisaw and that offensive line is going to be healthy here. Everybody's going to be on there. They brought in Ryan Kelly and some other folks, Brian Kelly and some of these other guys, all pros. So they really beefed up that line for J.J. McCarthy. Probably they're saying the best line in the NFL right now. So yeah. Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adolfo, like let's give props out to those guys for really putting together a heck of a squad. We always say that the secondary is always the weak point for the Vikings, but it's Brian Flores, and I mean you're talking about probably the best coaching duo in the NFL. Yeah. Between Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell. So, if that's our weak point, if the secondary is our weak point and, Harrison Smith's back there, the veteran, I'm okay with that. I feel confident in that.
So, well, it's interesting, too. It looks like Detroit has major flaws now. Green Bay, Chicago's new head coach was Detroit's offensive coordinator. Is that right? And now Detroit has no offense and Green Bay put it to him.
Yeah. It's their offensive coordinator moved on to Ben Johnson, I believe his name is. He moved on to be the head coach for the Chicago Bears. And then Aaron Glenn moved on to coach the – who was the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, is now the head coach for the New York Jets.
What?
So, yeah, so you've got both of your head coaches, both of your, you know, masterminds leave the organization, and then they didn't do some key signings too, and then some people did – they lost some people to free agency. So – yeah, feel bad for Detroit. If there was their time, it was last year.
I love your laugh.
I think the division's going to go down Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago. Chicago's going to have a good season too. I mean, here's the reality of the situation, Robert. The NFC North is probably the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, the most competitive. So they're literally going to beat up on each other.
Yeah. Well, I have to say this, and we kind of knew this with all these quarterbacks coming to Minnesota during our head coach's time, that he has to be one of the best head coaches out there. And then you didn't see him get mad or anything on the sidelines with the first three quarters of really ineptness. He let his players play and knew that, felt confident that they'd be able to pull it off, and dang if they didn't. Unbelievable. JJ was unbelievable for one quarter. It was unbelievable. I was like bummed out, ready to change the station.
Well, you know, and I mean, you think about Kevin O'Connell and his past of, you know, being Tom Brady's backup, right? Yeah. Being at the New England Patriots, you know, winning over there. So he knows what it's like to win. Being under Sean McVay out in Los Angeles, you know, he won under Sean McVay. They call Kevin O'Connell the quarterback whisperer, you know. And, I mean, look at Daniel Jones. He's playing for the Indiana Colts this year. But he probably had the best Sunday this last week out of all of NFL quarterbacks. And he was a quarterback here with Minnesota Vikings. And then Sam Darnold now is out in Seattle. They had a, you know, pretty decent outing. So, I mean, all these ex quarterbacks played for Kevin O'Connell are now out there playing somewhere else. It's got to say something about the guy, right?
There's only one that really isn't playing, and he went to Atlanta and he's on the bench right now making a lot of money. That's the only one that maybe he couldn't help.
But let's look at what happened here, though. I mean, you know, this kid, you know, J.J. McCarthy, he kept his posture. There's stories of him through the first three quarters that he was keeping the team loose, like, we're going to make a comeback here. And sure enough, did he not do it right here at the end of the quarter, or the fourth quarter, to really show some poise and to really show, like, hey, he's the real deal. So I'm all in on J.J. McCarthy. Max Rosner. I'm telling you, Robert, Minnesota's got a really good team.
I got to tell you, JJ, I heard a stat that since high school, he's 65-3. That's his record.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, this kid, I mean, he is going to do really good for us. He's got all the tools. He's got the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the best duo we have, Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. And then we've got Hockenson there at the tight end.
Yeah.
And then we've got Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason in the backfield. I mean, I just feel like all the pieces are there for this guy to just dump the ball off and do a Tom Brady. I really do. And let's remake the connection here, Robert. Tom Brady went to Michigan. JJ McCarthy went to Michigan. I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh, he said it. He goes, we might got the next Tom Brady.
Hey, who are we playing this next week, and what's your prediction?
We're playing the Atlanta Falcons, everybody, Sunday night at 7:20 p.m. at U.S. Bank Stadium. Everybody get ready for this. This is going to be a great game. I'm so excited, Robert. I'm going to be out with the guys. We're going to be watching it. It's going to be a great time.
Geez, I was hoping you'd invite me to your suite.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The FBI is expected to speak soon after releasing more photos of the person of interest in the shooting death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. CBS's Anna Schechter also reports.
Federal law enforcement believes they have the identification potentially of that suspect, but I will caution everybody, they still say they do not have a suspect in custody.
Two students shot by a 16-year-old student at Evergreen High School near Denver yesterday are still in the hospital. Jefferson County Sheriff spokesperson Jackie Kelly says the suspect died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Based on some of the information that we're seeing about this suspect, he was radicalized by some extremist network.
We paid for more for our gas, groceries, and airfares last month as prices jumped 2.9% from a year ago. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Next week, I think the Fed is going to look at this and say, yes, we know prices are rising a little bit. It's not crazy. Let's focus on the labor market. Let's deliver that interest rate cut and then see what comes in the months ahead.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.